Welcome to On Mic with Jordan Rich. This podcast is all about the voices you hear on the radio and TV, those actors, producers, creators who focus on the most fascinating of our instruments, the human voice. My guest today is a very busy voice actress with scores of very happy clients across the globe. You'll note from her distinctive accent that she hails from the old country across the pond. Julia Lippman is one of a handful of talented British VO artists we use and recommend. She's totally professional, consistent, and a blast to work with. After we hear a sample of her stuff, I'll be talking with Julia about acting, about voice work, and mastery of accents. Here's a taste of Julia Lippman.
Academic writing can be a challenging task, and made more difficult if English is not your native language.
The English call Leeds Castle the loveliest castle in the world, and for good reason. Built in 857, the castle has been home to such English royalty as Edward I, Henry V, and Henry VIII. Inside. On December 16th in 1773, a group of prominent Bostonians gathered for a tea party that went something like this. What are you doing with my tea? Splash! Mrs. Dalloway advanced, light, tall, very upright, to be greeted at once by button-faced Miss Pym, whose hands were always bright red, as if they had been stood in cold water with the flowers. There were flowers, delphiniums, sweet peas, bunches of lilac, and carnations, masses of carnations.
Well, jolly good show this is going to be. I think I'm going to end up talking like you, Julia. I'm sorry.
Well, that would be great.
I apologize in advance if I start trying to talk like you.
No problem.
I've admired you as a lovely friend, but also as a professional. And of course, we'll talk about your background. But do people stop you in the street just in general and say, you're not from around here? And they try to pinpoint where exactly you're
from? Yes, they definitely do. I get people talk to me in elevators and on the street or when I'm, you know, on the phone. And they say, wait a minute.
Do they nail it, though?
You're not from Boston.
Do they get, well, first of all, where are you actually from?
Yes, from Hertfordshire.
Hertfordshire.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever said, you sound like you're from Hertfordshire?
Not really. Usually London, because I lived in the London area, too. Yeah.
All right. Well, when did you come to the States, first of all?
I came to the States in 1989. Mm-hmm. That's when I arrived in New York at JFK with my bags and
ready to go.
Ready to go. Make a new home.
I want you to talk certainly about the old country, if you will. But let's talk about where you started in the voiceover business and how.
Well, I did a lot of community theater both in the UK and when I came here in the Boston area. And in London, I did a couple of shows. I joined the Gatehouse Theater Club. And we did a couple of shows, and one of them was called The Poker Session, which we did at the Hampstead Theatre in Swiss Cottage, which was very exciting. And when I came to the States, I got involved with community theatre again. And musical theatre is my passion, because I love to sing, and I play music. I play the guitar. And I've been sort of acting from a very, very young age. So I joined a community theatre, and we did a lot of shows at My Fair Lady. I was Widow Corny in Oliver. We did Wizard of Oz. I was Charlotte Cardoza in Titanic the Musical. And then I was in Beauty and the Beast. And that actually is how my voiceover career started. I was the narrator and standing backstage. And when the show started, I was I was there with a microphone. Once upon a time in a faraway land. And after the show, somebody came up to me, didn't know him. And he introduced himself, and he was a creative director from one of the Boston advertising agencies. And he said, you know, I really like your voice, and have you thought about doing voiceovers? And I said, well, I've sort of thought about it, but really not sure, you know, how to go about doing that. And he said, get yourself down to Soundtrack and start a demo reel.
One of the very fine Boston and New York-based studios, by the way. Just want to throw that in there.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And so I did what he said. I called Soundtrack and I said I'd like to come in and record some spots. I didn't know what I was doing, but it was very exciting to me to launch on this new adventure. And I recorded three spots in December 2007. And then I was fortunate enough to meet Ren Ross, who I worked with, and she produced my demo. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got started. Mm. And so I had my demo, and then I went about finding clients and marketing myself.
Right. Ren, a former guest on the podcast here on Mike with Jordan Rich, and we're talking with Julia Lippman. Of course, we first met you here at my place, at my studio, several years ago, when we had the need and the call for just what you can provide, a true British delivery. And prior to, I'd say, the year 1995, prior to that, it was always an American chap or an American lass who would fake the accent. And they did it very well.
Sure.
But it's amazing how, I guess, the melting pot has melted even further.
It definitely has. It definitely has. And there's a lot of talent in the Boston area. And there's, you know, people who can do different accents, you know, British, South African, Australian, New Zealand. And it's fabulous. It's sort of this rich, you know, as you said, melting pot of people who offer a variety of voices, a variety of accents. Mm. So it's really lovely to work in Boston.
For you, it was a natural transition, as it is for many, as an actor to become a voice actor. So tell me about the first paying gig you can recall, if you can.
It was right after I think it was in 2008, and I had just produced my demo. And I got it my first gig, and they said, we'd like the Queen's English for this one. And I said, oh, of course, I can do that, definitely. And it was an industrial. And it was a little scary because it was my first experience, but I was so psyched when I got in, and it went very smoothly. Mm-hmm. And people are so helpful when you're in the studio. And even when I work remotely from my home studio, and I do phone patches where clients can call in and direct or coach or ask for different takes. And, you know, everybody's wonderful because they really, you know, they're very helpful with what they want and give you good guidance.
Well, it's a creative exercise. Yes. And when done without ego and done professionally, it's a beautiful art form.
Oh, and it's fabulous.
It's so great to be working with the writer and the director and then the engineer. Now, you referenced several accents that people are familiar with. From your own bag of tricks, how many regional accents are there? Or is there just this beautiful, which is perfectly fine, beautiful British delivery?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that because I do get asked to do a lot of different accents, including an American accent. So I do get asked to do a lot of accents, including an American accent. And I'm always surprised when I'm asked to do an American accent because I feel like there's so much talent in the Boston area and they do American accents much better than me. But when I did one e-learning, I do get asked a lot when I get a job for e-learning or training for a company. And they say, Can you change your voice and your accent? Because we want seven different sounds. And so I do what I feel comfortable doing, and I tell them that up front, which is, you know, the British, the RP, the Queen's English, the Cockney. I can do Irish. I have done South African, Australian, and some European accents, sort of Italian and French. But they're usually just, you know, one-liners or two lines in an e-learning training session where questions are being asked and people are answering and they just want to get the feel that there's more than one person in the room.
Right. Well, as an actor, do you envision a particular sound based on, say, another actor? For instance, if you were to ask me, and I'm not very good at Cockney, but if you were to ask me, I would immediately think of Michael Caine. You know,
Oh, yeah.
I would think Michael Caine.
But that's great.
No, it isn't. But tell me how you do it. Seriously.
I'm just used to the sounds because I grew up with the sounds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Cockney is just very easy for me.
And what would Cockney sound like if I asked you how your day is going?
So, yeah, it's going really well, Jordan. With sun shining and I'm out here talking to you. It's great.
What happened to the Queen? She was sitting here a second ago.
No, I really don't. I'm not quite sure. You know, I've got a lot of work to do today.
You know, South African is an interesting accent. There are many South African people living in the Boston area throughout the country. Mm. Lovely people. And their accent is so close, and yet it's different to the British.
It's really hard to do. It's kind of like you sort of talk like this, you know. It's similar to Australian a little bit, but Australian's a little bit more sort of the intonation, sort of up and down and you know.
So well, you've got such a great ear for this, and that's why you're a good performer. But it's interesting to change on the fly. And in a voiceover situation, obviously you're recording, so you have a little bit of a break. But sometimes they ask you to literally change voices on the fly, and you have to sort of remember where you were beforehand.
Exactly. Yeah. I think you have to have them hard. I have certain accents, I just because I've done them for so long, sort of hardwired into my brain. And so I can switch fairly easily. And it depends on the length of, you know, if I'm going to do, for instance, I'd never be able to do an audiobook in a Scottish accent because I wouldn't be able to maintain it for that long.
Right.
It's really hard. But I can definitely do, you know, a couple of lines here and there in an e-learning training session or something like that. If somebody wanted something on a radio commercial with slightly different to the British, I can...
I've got to ask you this because this is a pop culture reference, but there are so many tremendous British and foreign-born actors who are doing American productions. And I'll give you one example. On Netflix currently, the story of Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, he's played Ted Kaczynski by Paul Bettany, the British actor. And Sam Worthington, who's an Australian, plays an American FBI agent from Philadelphia. And I've been very interested in the accent, and he really nails it.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
One of my heroes is Tracy Ullman.
She's
so incredible. I'm floored. I'm just floored when I listen to her because, you know, it's just incredible that you can do that.
I wanted to ask you about the American accent when you've been called upon. Mm. You've lived here since 88, you said.
Yes.
And you still retain this beautiful British accent. You haven't been inured to the Boston scene yet?
It's funny. I have tried. And my family all American, my husband and my kids, and I still can't. You know, I don't know what it is. It's I can sometimes do a bit of a southern accent. I lived in Chicago for a while. And the funny thing is, I lived in Manhattan for 3 years. And when I came up to Boston, when people spoke to me and, you know, if I spoke to somebody in an elevator or something, they'd say, oh, are you from New York? And that was only after I'd said a few words. So I must have picked up some sort of New York accent. But that's the closest I've come to really doing an American accent.
Well, I tell you, I have a friend who lives in England, and he's been there forever, and he has no British sound at all. I mean, it's just interesting how you pick things up and how you work. Now, let's talk again about the work you've done on an individual basis. You've built your own studio, which many of the folks listening are doing, obviously, and many other people are wondering. And then how do you get the work you get currently? What do you do
Good
to
question.
Market yourself?
Well, a significant portion of my business comes from making cold calls. And in fact, I called you in 2009, and that's how I met you.
Exactly.
But I do. What I do is I research studios, producers, directors, media companies in the Boston area and to see if that might be a good fit for my voice. And then I call and introduce myself and ask if they ever use, you know, British voiceover talent. And if they do, I ask if I can send them my information. And then they, you know, some keep me on file, some won't. And I'm actually quite surprised that some of the cold, I made thousands of cold calls since, you know, in the first six years of my business, I did a lot of cold calling to connect with people and also just to build relationships, because I think that's what it's all about. It's not just getting the job.
Right.
For me, it's building the relationship, making the connection, finding out about what people do and what they need. And so I got probably about 20 of my clients that way from just all the calls that I made. I also, you know, have registered with a lot of the agencies in the Boston area.
I've gone outside,
yes, I have. I do a lot of work for people in the UK and Europe and Australia. And people sometimes find me on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel or through my website. I did some work for the, you know, pay-to-play sites at the beginning when I started. And that's because it was sort of a great way to get into the business because it is so hard and at the beginning. And that's how I've just sort of built the relationships.
It is hard, but I will tell you to your face and to the listeners' ears that one of the things about you that's always been so appealing is not only your talent, which speaks for itself, but the fact that you're so easy to work with, so approachable, and so sweet. Your name is Lipman. Tell everybody what your logo is.
Yes, my logo is a teacup because I absolutely love tea. I drink it constantly.
So
and so my logo is a voice that is your cup of tea. And on my business card and my website, my branding is this cup of tea. And on the teacup on the outside, it has a tea bag and it says imported from Britain. And I just love tea. And there's also so many similarities between tea being warm and, you know, rich and mature and soothing and right. voices. So I loved that image.
We were talking about the podcast world and you're interested in getting into it. And I certainly hope you do. And I'll be listening because the return now of audio as a genre to be respected and also creatively mm-hmm. as a genre. You've been on stage, you've created characters. We're so rich with the ability to do that on mm-hmm. audio, mm-hmm. on whether it's radio or podcast. And I'm thrilled that people are rediscovering this.
It is wonderful. I mean, mm-hmm. it's definitely a new medium to think about. And it does sort of, it is a very smooth transition from being a voiceover artist.
I've asked this of other friends who've stopped by. Do you ever think about the impact of your work and somewhere in the world someone's listening to you, maybe as the voice of the elevator or as an e-learning guide? I think about that sometimes. My goodness, I did something 10 years ago and somebody in Thailand may be listening
to
me.
Right. No, I do. I do. It is because I tend to sort of, I do a project and then, you know, I move on to the next one. But I do sometimes think back and say, oh, that job I did, that e-learning job, or that product video that I narrated, or, you know, that Pandora Spotify spot that I did for a company. It is sort of funny to think about that.
Well, it's
somebody's listening.
Well, it's a legacy building product, yeah. first of all. But it's also, you know, kind of want to get too philosophical here, but it's helping people
yes.
help other people and making money for them and perhaps supplying them with the
right.
knowledge to go for it. I think that's the coolest thing about what we do. I really
think it's
do.
Wonderful.
Now,
yeah.
what about the stage? We've talked a lot about the voiceover and your voice and so forth. Have you had a chance to do stage work since you've been doing all this VO work?
I have not done a lot of stage work. I did some stage readings, and I'm getting involved again with somebody who's setting up some stage readings that I really do want to participate in. I co-produced a show when I did community theater, and I also did some stand-up comedy in New York, and I've thought about doing stand-up comedy again.
Now that's interesting. I don't believe, if memory serves, I don't believe that there's a female stand-up doing comedy with a British accent. I may be
in
wrong.
Boston?
In America.
In America.
I know there are a couple of very funny people from overseas who are hit comics.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your material like? Do you have material in the past that you can cite?
Well, I did when I did the stand-up comedy in New York. It was, you know, it was mostly sort of comparing the Brits and the Americans right. and the funny things, and I did a lot of funny accents. And it was just an open mic at Catch a Rising Star, okay. and it was, you know, they invited people to come up, and they actually asked me to come back and audition for America's Funniest People the next day, but that didn't go anywhere.
The fact that they wanted you to audition,
I was like,
Julia.
Maybe I should think about it. So it's sort of in the back of my mind. There's so many things
great.
That I'd like to do, but, you know, voice up, my business is my focus, so... Mm. It's hard to sort of branch out and do other things because there's so much to do with
it. I just have one more question about the British sensibility and the British accent. There's a certain thought process here in the States that everybody in Britain speaks perfect English. The accent is and the diction and the elocution and so forth. Is that just is it because we're just blinded by the Queen and you?
It's like that in any country. There's such a variety of accents, dialects, you know, diction. People speak so differently all over each country and all over the world. I don't think you can generalize. That's the impression.
So there are people there in Britain who obviously don't open their mouths wide enough and you can't understand what they're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
There are tons of people mumble and can't understand it. In fact, my husband and I went on holiday to Yorkshire, and when we were living in America, we went back there. And I was talking to somebody was talking to him, and he kept saying, "What's he saying? What's he saying?" Because he was and I said, "Well, that don't you understand that?" So he was like, "No."
Well, so, I just want to say it's been a real delight. Michael Caine, if he were here, did you ever see that movie? With the two comics and they go on a road trip. I forget the title, but people are shouting it out as they listen.
Yeah.
And they do impressions going back and forth. It's a cute movie. You'll just Google something
like
that.
I'll have to Google that, yeah.
But Whenever I try to do an accent, I can only do it if I think of somebody like that. Or if you said to me, all right, say to me, do a Scottish accent.
Okay, do a Scottish accent.
Captain, we don't have any more power for the shields. Oh. I mean, that's, you know, Scotty. I mean, that's all that comes
to mind.
That's
really good.
Well, no, it's not. Julie, it's been a delight. And
thank you, Jordan.
I invited you here because I think you're a delightful talent and a lovely person and also somebody with a voice and something to say. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Julia Lippman. And Julia Lippman with one P.
One P.
JuliaLippman.net. You've been listening to On Mic with Jordan Rich, a podcast produced by Chart Productions, on the web at chartproductions.com. And please subscribe, download, rate, and review us on iTunes and most other podcast platforms. Thanks so much for listening. Take care.